Los Angeles.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
The Funky K is with you.
And what really brought this up is the car manufacturers are taking out the AM radio frequency from the new models of cars.
Yeah.
And go ahead, Carl.
Well, you know, they're saying that on the electric cars that the AM signals, you know, screw up the electric cars, but Ford has taken it out of all the cars. And what this is it's going to really hurt the AM stations. And the AM stations, of course, these days are more talk radio and sports radio and things like that. But, you know, even up in my old where I used to live in Bradford, Pennsylvania, there's only one station you can get, basically, and it's AM. It's not an FM. You know, you can get the Buffalo stations now from FM, but when I was growing up, it was one fucking station there when we moved in 1972.
Well, you was around it. You were listening to the radio in the 60s, so you would know when AM radio was at its peak when it popped. There's a reason why Carlin named his Dirty and Clean album AM/FM.
Right. You know, and being a kid in the 60s, and I remember the first time I ever heard the song Yesterday. It was during a recess. Somebody had one of those little transistors and had the station on. First time I ever heard Yesterday. And I knew right then that was important, listening to that. So, you know, I have a great, you know, respect and memories of AM radio. And unfortunately, you know, this is just the change of times because a lot of the AM style shows that are on are moving to podcasts now. You have all your right-wing podcasts. They're leaving radio. And, of course, there's Sirius, which is all satellite now. So you've got satellite FM and AM. Yeah, and AM is losing.
You would use the AM radio to listen to our beloved madman, Art Bell.
Yeah. You know, or even back in the day, Wolfman Jack had a show that was all on AM. You know?
Before he came on the air, boys and girls, people thought that he was this crazy motherfucker running a radio station out of Mexico.
Yep.
In a way, him appearing in American Graffiti killed his career.
Well, actually, it helped him a lot, too, in terms of that's when he got really got syndicated, too. Of course,
yeah,
he moved to FM at that point.
And the Midnight Special.
Mm-hmm. And another one that you can, I think, for AM radio is Dr. Demento. When
AM radio in the... Go ahead.
Well, it's AM radio in the 70s, man. You know, that's what it was. And it wasn't until the mid-70s, the late 70s, that you really got the FM stations. But if you were in the hinterlands, if you were in a place like Bradford, Pennsylvania, 90 miles from Buffalo, you didn't get the friggin' FM signals. So you got whatever was in Bradford or whatever was in Kane. Kane had a local station. You know, that's the way it was up in that area in Northwest PA.
Well, the FM radio, AM radios here when I was a kid, I would have to listen to it if I wanted to listen to KCK Sum 40.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Top 40 was a big one on AM. Casey Kasem.
And it was the divide because, like I said, going back to George Carlin's AM FM, the AM was the clean side of the radio, and AFMs were the dirty hard rockers and that dirty rock music was played.
You know, and the other thing I want to bring up, too, is that, okay, so I grew up a lot of my time in Pittsburgh. All the sports program, if you were a Steelers fan, if you were a Pirates fan, even if you were a Pittsburgh Condors fan in the ABA, guess where you went to? You went to WTAA, AEFM, AM. You went to different AM stations, and that's where your sports talk was.
I remember
pretty true.
When my dad, granddad, would listen to the Reds on the weak signal on the AM radio. He would sit outside on the porch and whittle wood and listen to the guy who's the voice of the Reds.
Mm-hmm. You know what? We used to go to the games. My dad still had a radio. And he listened to the games on the radio so we could get the play-by-play and understand what was going on.
Yeah, well, that's the way it was with UT and John Ward. People would watch the game on the TV, but they'd have the radio on so they could hear John Ward's voice.
Right. You know, and we do the same thing with Bob Prince in Pittsburgh or Myron Cope, you know, for the Steelers. Absolutely. My dad would do that if it was on TV, and he'd have the radio on and turn the TV down so we'd get the Pittsburgh announcers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a real shame. I'm surprised they haven't done it before, but that it's happening now and it didn't happen 5 years ago. No matter what, with this happening, it's going to hurt AM radio really, really hard. This is not a good sign.
No, but yeah. And for a while, before they got the low band FM station, the drive-in during their last big gasp in the 80s would use AM radio stations. So during the testing era of no speakers.
Yeah. You know, another thing, too, is if you're going on, even these days, if you're going on the road, you're on a highway or that, you can hit this AM signal that they tell you to see if there's any traffic or things like that.
Oh, yeah,
maybe
we
that's
got
no
that
long.
Here, you know, the traffic warning.
Right. No, I think with GPS and with everything else now, that might be going downhill too, but I remember that stronger. You know?
And we were too poor to get the 8-tracks. Well, we had some blank ones, but we were each given the designated. So we would, like, record crap off the radio and make our own mixes. Or cassettes. Or otherwise, you had to stock, even when you were making your mixtapes, you had to stock the radio and play and hope to God that the station with the best signal would play your song that you were looking for.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, and did you notice in that song Everclear, the tribute to Joe's Garage?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, that voice. Turn it down!
Down!
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a great choice of song, by the way. That was excellent.
Yeah. But, yeah, you had, if you want to listen to music back then, you either did that, or you had to carry around the boom box or the large transistor radio, or as they call them, beach radios.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I used to have one of those at the store, and by that time you could get the Buffalo station, or I had it was also a CD player at that point, so yeah.
Yeah. Because I don't know many people, and those are very expensive, the beach record players that you could take with you.
Yeah, you didn't run across those too often. You know, I had a portable LP, you know, record player, but it was one of those plastic ones when you were a kid, you know?
Yeah, we all had one of those cheap record players when we were kids.
Yeah, I love those.
That was one of the first signs you're getting to be a big kid or an adult, is that you got your own record player.
Absolutely.
That means they recognize you had musical taste.
Yep. I got mine when I was, probably like 6 or 7 years old. But
yeah.
I could only play what they told me to play. So not until I was older could I, like, piss off my parents and play something else.
Yeah, well, that's one of the funny and truest scenes about Almost Famous, is where he found his sister's record stash when she moved out.
Yep.
He said,
uh-huh.
Listen to this, I'll open your mind. And the last words was, hide this from Mom.
Yep, I had a couple of those albums.
That was back in the days when music could be dirty. And not dirty as in just, hey, motherfucker, fuck you. But scary ideas. That's why the Zappas were only in it for the money. The parents didn't like it because it showed the scary ideas about suburbia.
Well, you talk about that. I have to go back to a friend of mine when we were in Pittsburgh, North Hills,
mm-hmm.
who parents had Lenny Bruce albums. They'd be out of the house, and we'd play the Lenny Bruce album. I remember that very strong.
Under the Counter albums.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you, radio, AM, and FM, for all the memories you gave us when us 70s and 80s kids were little nuggets. And, of course, the AM stations drifted over to college stations because they could have them on the low band and it would only play on the, you could only hear it on the campus unless you.
That was exactly what we did at UPB. When I ran the radio station, we were on cable and we were on I think we were on 58 on the AM. Something
like
that.
Let me finish.
Oh, go ahead.
But if you would knew the right time of night when the wind was blowing right and everything was calm and clear in the sky, you could pick up some of those college stations. The UT campus was like 40 minutes away.
Yeah, you could do that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
With the AM FM and the college radio stations. Hell, it wasn't until the, wasn't it the 90s is when they acknowledged college radio as its own freaking genre.
Yeah, not even in the 80s, because I was in New York in the 80s, and WFMU was like, I listened to FMU all the fucking time.
Yeah, do you remember? And that's one of the great documentaries that you can get is, and Carl watched it too, as I recommended, is that documentary on
FMU.
Yeah, FMU. And how
another
they ran it out. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, another station we've talked about too is the one on Long Island, WLIR. Fantastic.
Yeah. And what's funny is KMU was run out of an old greenhouse on top of the radio station building where they could sneak up there because the door wouldn't close good. And they would smuggle equipment up there and just, you know.
Yep. They're still going strong, though. You can run them on, you can find them on the computer. Just go WFMU.
Yeah.
And you'll find them. You know, Google.
Yeah, but it's like the night flight when you go to the streaming channel or something. It ain't the same.
No, it's not. No, it's not. It's not. Things have changed, unfortunately. But, you know, we lived through some good times, and AM radio was certainly great. Absolutely.
And don't forget, enjoy your – I'm not one of those that say, well, things were better back then. No, they were different, and we learned to survive in different ways.
Oh, absolutely.
The biggest problem I see nowadays, and us adults are bitten in the ass with it too, is that there's so much choice that we are oversaturated by streaming, so we don't think nothing about watching 5 minutes of a movie, and if it doesn't hook us, we're moving on.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm in that position too now. And I try to fight it every time I can. But I'm losing.
Yeah. Well, you do need a great opening to keep someone there while you set up the plot.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's like an album. It's like the albums they would always have in the 70s. They would always have that great opening riff. Or just come barreling out of the gates with a great opening song.
Mm-hmm. You know, even the album design, too, was part of that, too.
Oh, God, yeah.
You see a great album cover, and it's like, oh, I got to listen to this. Yeah. Yeah, I've done that before.
The reason we're doing trailers tonight, at the old Starlight, it's Thursday, and we really don't kick into gear until movies until next week. So we're just going to go through a whole batch of trailers. I mean, a big lot of trailers for the rest of the show.
Well, and I'm looking forward to this because I did see the first one. So I did see what the first one was. But
yeah.
I like these because I don't know what the hell's going on. And that's always good because I like to react.
Yeah. Especially if it's for a movie you like that the trailer is very rare.
Right.
So.
Which one?
Go to Grindhouse Drive-In Movie Trailers from the 1970s compilation.
2023, number one.
Yeah.
And just to repeat that, that's Grindhouse/Drive-In with a hyphen, movie trailers from the 1960s-1970s compilation, 2023, number one.
Yeah. And pause it until you get set up.
Okay, I'm already set up, and I see October is National Movie Month.
Okay, welcome back. Now that you paused and set everything up, and here we go in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. Yeah, October is National Movie Month. What that is was, you know, creating something to get people into the theaters when the drive-in season and the summer season had closed. As long as they get their asses in the seat.
Yeah.
And there's the infamous Jim Rex.
Yeah, Jim Rex.
Oh, and I did check it out, Carl. The M rating lasted less than a year.
Yeah, it did.
And they changed M to PG.
Right.
Imagine back then, if you were 16, Carl, you could have gone and seen a porno.
Well, that was before, that was really before that the XXX came in and subverted the idea of an X rating. X rating was supposed to be adult, but not pornographic.
Yeah. Oh, this is why, if we missed this right here, we'd be pissed. Man, we got to get there early. Why? We got to watch the coming attractions, see what's coming soon.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
This must be a Spaghetti's Western.
There's a lot of good people in this, including Lee Van Cleef and Jim Brown.
Oh, shit. Uzuma's Raid?
No, this is El Condor.
El Condor. Oh, yeah. This one is fun.
I don't know this one.
Yeah, it's fun, but it's another one of those where they tried to make Jim Brown into a star by stacking odds, stacking it with him.
Right.
That was the way they do it. They put the guy they wanted to be a star with a whole bunch of other stars.
Right. And Lee Van Cleef.
Yeah, Lee Van Cleef was already. Go ahead.
When I saw this, I thought this was 99 Guns. But no, it's this one I do not know.
Yeah, 99 Guns had Burt Reynolds.
Oh.
But by then, Lee Van Cleef was a legend for The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, The Big Gun Down, The Big Showdown.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This one was one of the smaller ones because, like I said, Jim Brown was another one of those. They tried the Sidney Poitier him.
Right. Patrick O'Neill.
Yeah, Patrick O'Neill. Yeah, just bam, bam, bam. They wouldn't use the word damn nowadays in trailers.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they always had to have the sexy woman.
Oh, absolutely.
Only
this
difference
is
in Jim Brown movies, he was the one who got her.
Mhm. But yeah, Marianna Hill. She was in a number of spaghetti westerns.
Yeah. Screenplay by who? You ever heard of Larry Cohen?
Yeah.
Yeah. He wrote that.
Oh, my God. I have to see it then.
A Cohen you haven't know?
No.
That's us nowadays after we eat chili, folks. Me more than Carl.
Latitude Zero.
Yeah.
Oh, great little film.
Yeah, Joseph Cotton. That handkerchief around his neck come from her. She was nervous about being in her first Japanese movie over in Japan. So Joseph Cotton took off that headband from around her neck and neckband around her neck and wore it throughout the whole film.
Nice.
And this is when Cesar Romero had his second win thanks to Batman.
Absolutely.
And this is for that actor, the main guy over there, got his second wind over here by premiering in an emergency.
Nice. This is a great little film. I mean, a really good film.
It's
I remember seeing it.
That this is a faded out print of it because it's in color.
Yeah. But I saw this on Killer Theater, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Or at least on one of those Saturday afternoon films.
Well, I did because my Friday Night Horror thing would also have, along with the horror titles I said, it would have the two Doug McClure, you know, people and people that time forgotten time. And Master of the World, who stars?
That's Vincent Price, and of course Charles Bronson is in that.
Yeah. But this is a fun one if you like old school science fiction film.
It's a blast. Okay, which one is this? Do you know what this is?
What?
I don't know. That's why I'm saying.
This is a first for me, too. I mean, David Carradine, David.
What the hell is this?
Macho Callahan. Yeah. Macho Callahan, the last of the Hard Ryan.
David Jansen in a Western? This is weird. You know, I think I know like all the 70s movies ever, and I don't. Not even close.
Hey!
Oh, my God.
Callahan.
I don't think I've ever even heard of this.
Yeah, I have. Lee J. Cobb, Johansson, Carradine.
Wow.
Well, you still haven't seen, well, I'm surprised you hadn't seen El Condor because it was written by Larry Cohen.
Cohen.
Oh, God, no.
Oh, God, no, 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 no. Run away. Run away quickly.
We're in the middle of the goddamn jungle, people shooting at us. Why should we give a fuck? And this isn't what the movie's about. The movie's about Tommy Kirk is a guy who can't get it up. Can't get it up in the morning.
And these weird... It's just so bizarre.
Weird vignette and animation.
This is really
this movie
really,
is so
really bad.
This movie is so 60s and ain't even funny. This is one of the first Playboy Presents movies. Look, we got a caveman in the middle of New York City. Why? Who the f- knows? Isn't that how you can pretty much describe this whole movie is, who the fuck knows? See, Universal Playboy.
Yeah, really bad.
We can read Roman numerals real quick. We can tell you what year it came out, but we don't give a shit.
Exactly. Okay.
Ew, it's automatically a bad movie.
Move. Okay. Not one of his better ones, okay?
You mean he had better ones?
Yeah, oh yeah, easily. He's in my favorite movie of all time, okay?
Isn't this sort of like a ripoff of Little Murders, only not as cynical?
There is some of that to it. There's also a bit of a college campus in this, too. It's a real mix of shit, and that's why it doesn't work.
Yeah, it's one of those, I wish we had the Kramer line for whenever we got one of these early 70s college campus type movies.
But the thing is, Elliot Gould was the counterculture person of the 70s in the U.S., and the counterculture person in the UK was Malcolm McDowell. I love them both because this was an important part of my life growing up in the early 70s and seeing movies like this. That's kinky.
Short. Some people think, and some people don't. And so
And some people
run away screaming.
Eat waffles. This is what I think of most Elliot Gould movies.
I'm a big Gould fan, as you know. Okay, I make no bones about it. That's not
Size?
One of those good ones.
Oh, God.
Stepford Wives?
Yeah.
Stepford Wives. I called it. I fucking called it.
No. Diary of
A Mad Housewife.
Wife, yeah. The only one of the Perry's films that I think is an utter twat waffle bullshit movie.
No, there's another one. Portnoy's Complaint. It's also Perry.
When they are in on point, they're great. But when they drop the ball,
oh my God, Frank Langella was with hair? Seriously?
Having a sex thing.
No.
Their best film
no.
is The Swimmer.
No. I happen that. Did they do David and Lisa too? Is that them?
Yeah.
David and Lisa for me.
Their most dangerous film is one that almost no one's seen uncut.
Last summer?
Yeah, last summer. Hey, that's your kind of girl. If it was a girl, Carl,
yeah.
You're goddamn right I'm a sadist, and you wouldn't have it any other way. How dare a woman want their own life?
Yeah, not one of my favorites by any means.
No.
Oh, this is one of the best science fiction films of the 70s. Period.
Yeah. Colossus the Forbin Project. You know, they never did do the follow-up, but this is really supposed to have been a trilogy. Yeah. Even though it doesn't have a ending, it's still fucking brilliant.
Well, the ending is you don't know what's going to happen. And that was not uncommon in 70s films. Where they leave it open and
well,
you have to figure it out.
Well, like I said, this is supposed to be a trilogy. But then again, this is one of those that its problem was it was too smart
for its
for
own good.
The room.
Yeah.
Same with Garrett Graham's most best sci-fi film.
Well, which one is that?
Demon Seed.
Oh, yeah. Demon Seed actually has a lot in common with this.
Yeah.
Film.
And parts the Clonus horror.
Oh, yeah, that's another one I love.
That's another one that failed because of its goofy-ass title.
Yeah, but you know what?
Robert Fiveson made lots of money from that because he sued what's-his-name and won.
Well, they took the idea without telling him, and let's just say he was
pissed. They basically remade the fucking movie.
Yeah, and he didn't know that it was a remake to the director because, you know, it was like Deone with a fistful of dollars.
Right.
They didn't inform him that he was basically remaking Yojimbo.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, the Colossus Project
is
definite, yes.
Hey, this is coming out later this year. No, this ain't a
no,
no,
this is
one,
Fast
but...
Charlie, the Moonbeam Runner.
Yeah.
This is basically forgettable, unfortunately.
It's the same as that Sydney J. Fury one that's coming out on the box set. Big Boss and Little Hawsey, only more folksy and friendly.
Yeah, and more comic too. And it just
And if Big House wasn't a cocksucker all the way through the movie,
right.
Yeah, that's tough shit.
Yeah, this is basically forgettable, unfortunately. And when David Carradine is in an forgettable film, that's unusual.
And with a kid.
Yeah.
LQ!
Yeah, LQ's great in this. But LQ's always good.
Yeah. And I will give my thumbs up to the Sydney J. Fury set, because even though I don't like Hit that much, the Lawyer, Big Faust and Little Housie, The Boys and Company C.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, one of Brenda Picaro's few movies that she did in the 70s before she went into TV. Yeah. Oh, another.
Hell's
oh,
Angels
okay.
on Wheels.
Yay!
Yeah, this was, I think, the first one. Yeah.
We did a commentary watch on this, didn't we?
No, we did a Stone She-Devils on Wheels and Hell's Angels Forever.
Okay, Hell's Angels Forever. Okay, never mind.
This one and the Wild Rebels are, you know...
They're classics of it. They really are.
Yeah. Because as you see, this one has the bikers do more of a hippie vibe.
Well, that period of time he was doing Psych Out and a number of hippie type films, and so that, yeah, this definitely has that feel to it.
I I don't know any Hell's Angels that had a Nazi swastika tattooed on their arm.
Not a bad film.
No. Project X, William Castle.
What the? I don't know this. How come I don't know this? Do you know this one, Steve?
No. This looks like a ripoff of the end of Christopher George. This looks like a follow-up to George Powell's The Power.
Yeah, it does. And by the way, The Power is a great film. Watch it.
Yeah, and what I mean by that is not that it's a sequel, but he was going for creating a series using George Hamilton and the paranormal, you know,
right.
Sci-fi, it was going to be The X-Files before The X-Files.
Right. Or the Norless tapes. Even before the Norless tapes.
Yeah. Oh, good going, Drawman.
This looks interesting, actually. This looks interesting. I would watch this.
Yeah, I just love that fact that he tried to run away and just boink, ran into the wall. But don't fuck. But don't fuck. Press the Kramer alert.
What is this?
I don't know.
Me, Natalie. I don't know it. Do you know it?
No, this looks like a female version of Next Stop.
Greenwich Village?
Greenwich Village, without the Jewish aspect. They don't like to have it wrapped, Carl.
Well, you know, I understand that.
This is definitely one of those about the changing morals and a girl's awakening to the world.
You know what this reminds me of is Wanda by Barbara Logan. That's what this reminds me of.
Hey, it's got what's his name? I see him on a lot of TV stuff.
Oh God, that music is horrid.
Hey, that was the kind of romantic music we had in the late 60s.
I know, and let me tell you something. It was awful back then.
Cherishes a word that Carl despised. These fucking songs made him want to rip his ears and eyes.
Exactly.
Patty Duke.
Patty
James
Duke.
Tarantino. Elsa Lanchester.
Martin
Balsam.
Jones. Good Lord. Oh, one of my favorites, I love this movie. You know what it is?
What?
The 12 Chairs.
This makes the third different trailer to this that we've seen.
I love this movie. I literally love this film. I love this story. I knew this story as a kid. My one grandmother would tell me this story before bedtime, or it usually took like two or three bedtimes. It's a very Russian story, and it's wonderful. And if you think the Russians don't have humor, they generally don't, but in this case they do. And Ron Moody's great. Dom DeLuise. Oh, DeLuise, one of his best, by far.
Wasn't there a play that Topol did?
No, Topol did not do this one. He was actually considered for this, but he didn't win. He didn't get the part. Ron Moody did, and I think Ron Moody's just fabulous in this. The whole story is there's these jewels in these chairs. And the Russian Revolution has happened, and they're trying to get all those jewels so they have all this money.
Well, a little bit of history. That's how a bunch of Russian and Jewish families smuggled out their valuables during the Nazi occupation.
Yep, and during the Russian Revolution.
Yeah.
Which is before
they would sew them into chairs and stuff, you know.
And the funny thing about this movie, as funny as it is, at the end of this movie, you'll basically be crying. Seriously. It's Mel Brooks' most heartfelt film. It's a wonderful film. And it was not a hit. He had done the producers, and this one did not hit, but I love it. Another one of my favorites. Craxter Fortune has a cousin in the Bronx.
This one never was a hit over here. It was a cult film. I think it was too odd and too Irish for its own good.
And it's true, but it's a wonderful story.
It caught on as a cult hit. It's rarely talked in the main talk about midnight movies.
Yeah.
But this was a big hit. This was a hit on the midnight movie scene. Because he was so anti, you know.
Well, the producers and of course, Bonnie and Clyde, he and Start the Revolution Without Me, he really, really was a counterculture person.
Well, I was
going to
put more of an anti-iconoclast in this movie. Because Margot Kidder plays the counterculture person, and it shows that she's stupider than Quackster.
Yeah. And it's actually very heartfelt again. This has heart, this movie.
Yeah.
And it's not what you expect. It really is not what you expect. You're thinking
what's
of real,
that-
like...
Yeah. What's in that barrel is what usually Carl talks a bunch of in his shows.
Well, let me put it this way. Considering my intestinal fortitude, I get rid of that every day, usually very early in the morning. So there you go. Yeah, and he gets horse shit to sell for heat and things like that.
And he has to... find a new job when his job is outdated.
Because of cars.
Yeah, because
automobiles.
Of cars and them.
It's a lovely little film. I mean, yeah. It literally is a really
It's a delicate
nature.
Little flower.
Yeah. Very well put. Oh, no, didn't we just do this?
It's Polanski.
No. This is a Disney film, isn't it?
No. You're a big boy now.
This looks really bad.
Yeah.
This looks really bad. And God, what is Michael Dunn doing in this?
Getting paid.
Yeah, that.
I think it's time to push the Kramer alert again.
Yeah, really.
It's like the bat phone, except that it's, I think, blue.
Automats. When was the last time you were at an automat? Good God.
They actually did a documentary on that last year.
I tried to get the filmmaker of that on the show, actually. I was very interested in that. I was actually at an automat twice, both Horn and Hard Arts. Okay. This trailer is going on way too fucking long.
A bad trailer will last forever, while a great one will last just nothing. There's just too much going on without them really getting into the subject of the movie. But that's a Harvey Keitel, Geraldine Perdue, Peter Kastner,
Rip Torn,
Michael Dunn,
Tony Bill,
Karen Black, and Julie Harris.
No, maybe I should talk to Steve Ackleberry about this.
Yeah,
Coppola.
Yeah, I think this is the first straight film he directed.
Ugh. I'm thinking Kramer Alert again.
Oh God, yeah. Bah, 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 bah. The ass hopper.
Okay, you know who has the best role in this?
Who?
Jim Brown has the best role in this. She goes to Las Vegas. I saw this on HBO. And that's Jacqueline Bisset.
There he is. See, when you put him in a dramatic role, Jim Brown just kicks ass.
This actually is not a bad film. It's not great, but it's not bad.
Yeah, you know what our favorite sports movie with Jim Brown is, don't you?
What?
Fat City.
Oh, yeah.
They should take off the girl because she just seems like an ass hopper. Hops and mass to ass.
This is sort of like an early version of what's the one with Elizabeth Berkley that's set in Las Vegas? the really
oh,
bad
God.
One.
Oh, God.
This is an early version of that.
Yeah.
And directed by Jerry Harris, who was
who
actually
was. Why did they
change
it from the passing of evil to the grasshopper? The
I don't
passing
know.
Of evil
I,
just gives it more of a bite.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, I have no clue what this is.
No. Oh, is this,
Oh, WUSA.
Yeah,
okay,
one of
you
the
can...
shittiest films by your boy.
No, this is not my boy. This was directed by Stuart Rosenberg.
Oh, well, it's still crap. One of the crappiest movies about radio.
I didn't say
radio,
it was crappy.
Whatever.
It is absolutely crappy, but it's not my
well,
boy.
Well, I was clarifying. Putting it in its folder in the record store. Crappiest radio movie.
Pat Hingle is the only good thing about this film. The only good thing about this film. And one of his worst films. Seriously, one of Paul Newman's worst films. This is not good, kids.
And really?
At all.
The radio DJs, especially the talk-based DJs, back then had this power.
But
if
also,
you had the gift
of
gab.
Mm-hmm.
You can control anything.
Well, you know, this is sort of an early version of Nashville, and it does not work. Nashville does it way better because the politics are a big part of this.
Yeah, but Nashville, instead of having one focused story, Nashville
has 20 of them.
Yeah. I think that WUSA was sort of a rip off of Nashville.
No, it's the other way around. This is earlier than Nashville. This came out in 1970. And Nashville wasn't until 75.
Well, Nashville's the one that did it right.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
One of the greatest Barry fucking Newman. Trailers ever.
And by the way, Sydney, and the new set of Sidney J. Fury box set that Daniel Kramer put together. This is a really good film.
Even if the movie sucked, Jesus, this fucking trailer.
No, the movie's actually not bad at all. And it basically
set up... No, you
don't
listen to me. I said, even if the movie sucked, that is one of the greatest goddamn
trailers
ever.
Oh, yeah, great.
This is the man she loved. I think this might be another Kramer alert. She married Robert Stack. I would never marry a woman who would wear a shirt like that. That's something that your friends.
B.B. Anderson, Robert Stack,
James
Tarantino, Anna Girardot. Okay,
is this Italian?
Is a foreign film? No, this,
yeah,
I don't
I'm
think
just
it's,
wondering
because
it's got, yeah.
I think this is French.
Well, I think the movie just told us, he says, is this a war film? Yes, yes, yes. Oh, God damn, you don't have to be so forceful. I was just asking a fucking question. Jesus Christ, buddy. I'm going to be forceful now and force you against the tree. What? I thought my grammar was bad.
No, seriously. You know, she's a wonderful actress, but not so much in English. Swedish actress.
Story of a goat. Probably more interesting.
Let's go visit Universal City Studios, Steven.
Yeah.
We'd have fun.
Uh-oh. Oh, ABC. Oh, D-A-B-I. ABC film.
Oh,
okay,
God.
Now this one is actually fucking funny.
Oh, I agree.
I love the fact that the guy who robs the bank pulls out like a paper going, "Yeah, we scheduled. Oh, sorry."
This actually is not. It's pretty good. It's not my favorite Alan, but it's in my top five.
Yeah, his set, as he made fun of, his early funny films were his best. Bananas, Take the Money and Run, Sleeper, Love and Death.
Love and Death is my favorite by far.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
This may be the only film you'll see Woody act this goofy. Is that how your apartment is, Carl?
No, it's a little better than that. A little better. Not
well,
much, but a little.
No smoking in the bed.
It's cute.
Yeah. They don't show my favorite bit in the whole movie is when the guy's escaping the chain gang.
Yeah.
Oh, and it has one of our favorite madmen in it. The guy who was the star of World's Greatest Sinner.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Oh, speaking of movies that this movie will never be easy to watch.
No, this one is tough. This one is real tough.
Do you know who wrote the book that this was based on?
No.
Evan Hunter.
Evan Hunter. Okay, that's right. You did tell me that.
Yeah, and what other book series do we know that Evan Hunter wrote?
Oh, Jesus. You're asking me. I can't think. Just tell me.
Parker.
Oh, yes.
This was the second Evan Hunter adaption after Point Blank.
I do like Point Blank.
And you got to admit, Young Boy and what's his name? Bruce Davidson are fucking great in this.
Oh, hell yeah. And the girl who was up for Best Supporting Actress, this basically destroyed her career.
Yeah.
This is such a rough fucking film.
This is the scene that's usually cut.
This is probably Perry's best film, but I can't watch it. So I have to go with David and Lisa. Yeah, Kathy Burns.
I go
Kathy
with
Burns
the swimmer.
Is, yeah, and I understand that.
Evan Hunter. Well,
pardon me? Saying, don't know what this is.
You got to get points for that one, Carl.
Yeah.
It's only $15 in Buffalo. There ain't no Buffalo. I don't know this. It's John G. Avildsen, but I don't know it.
You know what? That's another Dan Kramer. He loves Avildsen before Rocky.
Oh,
and that's
take it away, Carl.
Oh, this is a great film. This movie is, I saw this at a rep theater before COVID, and I love this film, okay? It's called The Landlord, directed by the same person who did Harold and Maude and so many other great films. And this was written by Bill Gunn. Bill Gunn gave us the wonderful film, Gunge and Hess, also one of my favorite films, The Angel of Being. He wrote that also. This is just a great film. And Diana Sands in this, she is just amazing. And Lee Grant, as the mother, was up for an Academy Award.
I am shocked didn't sue the makers of the Joe Pesci remake of this for as blatant as they ripped it off.
And by the way, that is what's his name? I can't stop my leg. Robert Klein. Robert Klein.
Yeah. Oh. What's her name? The old woman.
That's Lee Grant. He was up for an Academy Award.
No, the black woman.
Oh, that's Pearl Bailey.
Yeah.
That's Pearl Bailey. This is a great film. It is an absolute fantastic movie.
What I love about this is that
and then how ashy.
It doesn't really have a happy ending. They don't know, no one's lovey-dovey with each other by the end of it, you know?
No. No, and it's marketed as a comedy. It's not really.
That they could have movies like this, Angel Levine, or they could sugarcoat it.
Oh, what is this? I know what this is, and I can't think of it.
Fred Astaire.
I've seen this before. Something like that. But Fred Astaire is the guy behind it. It's the mastermind.
Midas run.
That's it.
It seems like they couldn't do much wrong with heist movies in the 70s. $10 and a waffle, motherfucker.
I think that's Kirk Jurgens, if I'm not mistaken.
This is a mid-tier heist movie.
It's not a top-tier one
like Kelly's Heroes.
Or Italian Job.
The Italian Job. Or the Hot
Rod. Mid-level, like 11 Harrow House. And this is more European in style, by the way.
Yeah, of course. Ralph Richardson.
I love Ralph Richardson.
Cesar Romero.
Adolfo Celli. That's who that is.
Roddy McDowell. And that doesn't mean victory, boys and girls. That's all I'm saying. Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. This is when Ed Burns, this was like Paramount's attempt to rip off the
Beach Party series.
While cashing, oh. I love me some Righteous Brothers.
Oh, I agree.
But, yeah, Four Seasons, well, it's a big studio, so of course they can... Well, each of the Beach movies were stacked band-wise.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, they all were.
Hondells, when you couldn't get the Beach Boys.
They're an interesting group, by the way. They went very psychedelic after this.
Yeah. I think it's funny on the show, it basically showed him smoking weed and all sorts of shit. But when they put him in the movies, they clean, you know... They sanitized him. Oh, God,
and let me tell
you
something.
Car.
That's
Look.
A great car.
Yeah.
But you know what? It doesn't have Harvey Limbeck. Fuck it. You have to have Harvey Limbeck. No thanks. Not the worst of them.
Nothing wrong with having the ball on the beach. Hell's chosen few.
Oh, ATP.
Yeah. This is, I think, Ted B. Michaels. Or Al Adamson, I forget.
I think it's Adamson, actually. I think it's Adamson.
Yeah.
It's one of the two.
It's before Adamson made his magnum opus of a biker film.
Oh, look at the Nazi.
Yeah.
Of course, he had... You always had to have women in bikinis shaking their butt, their booty.
And some ugly motherfucker fucking them. Ugly. Hey, there's our boy.
Yeah.
He's in the nursing home right now.
Yeah.
God bless Gary Kent.
Yep. He's still in the hospital, but at least he's, you know, we thought he was gone. He's not gone yet. God bless him.
Yeah. Yeah, they're waiting to build a stunt ramp as big as him.
Okay, so. Okay, it ain't Pit Stop.
American Nitro. This
okay.
This is just Car Fest, car porn. This is a legit car porn movie. Because
okay.
All it's about is just, you know, a documentary about badass muscle cars and all that, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, drag racing and the funny cars.
Yeah, I'm gonna adjust my. I gotta keep adjusting my volume here. We don't have closed captioning, so I apologize.
Down the snake bedome.
We never ran these at the drive-in. Never did any like these car documentaries.
Well, those are real specialized films.
Right.
There was American Nitro, Dirt.
Wow. Looks like, you know, I mean, it looks like a decent film.
If you're into that, like I said, pure car porn.
Yeah.
But unless you knew who the drivers were and what the cars were without blinking. Is this the Pom Pom Girls?
I think it is.
It's either the Pom Pom Girls or Satan's Cheerleaders.
Or just the cheerleaders, too. Okay.
Yeah, look, they're trying to sell these guys as teenage high school football players. Shit. That's like if I hired me and you to play someone in our 20s.
Yeah, but
and don't change the gray hair or the bald spot, you know. But after the Pom Pom Girls was a big hit, good God, the flood of cheerleader movies coming out.
Yeah.
There was, as we said, the Pom Pom Girls, the cheerleaders.
Cheerleader,
Satan's
Party.
Yeah, Satan's Cheerleaders.
That's a canon film. Oh, yes!
Who is in this movie that just makes it great?
Okay, that would be, what's his name? Sergeant Holka.
Warren fucking Oates.
Thank you.
I love that. He's like, so and so, and then I'll...
This is a lot of fun. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah, that sounds like fun. Let's have a money fight. That doesn't involve us trying to cut. Oh, Claudia Jennings.
Well, yeah. Well, this is one of her last films.
Johnny Crawford. Oh, yeah. I've got this on my DVD Book of Hell.
It's a good little film. It's
solid. Johnny Crawford from the fucking
great film.
This is one of the best films that Tarantino ever put out on his VHS label. Yeah, Rolling Thunder.
Yeah.
And it has one of my favorite lines ever, which they used in as a background sound in Jackie Brown. The day I follow Carl Kafer out on a wet deck is the day I cut my own throat.
Yep. Harry Rhodes and Alex Rocco is just fucking great in this movie. This is a really good film.
Yeah.
Solid film. I didn't get to see this until about 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, it was pretty much barely released. If you're down south, you get to see it.
And there he is, Alex Rocco, man. That's Harry Rhodes. Gritty, tough little movie.
Yeah.
And very, very downbeat.
You know, we need to do that movie one day. We've never done it. Jackie Brown.
Oh, yeah. I'd do Jackie Brown in fucking heartbeat.
I'm sorry, but when it comes to Tarantino, I would rather watch films he curated or watch film he makes, then listen to him talk about films, or read a book where he talks about films, because he regurgitates a lot of the same old song and dance info.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Motherfucker! But
good car chases, solid action.
Yeah, this
and you're
is one
getting
of
a lot
better
of
that. Heist films.
Oh yeah, this is really good. Solid film.
Oh God. This is one of the films that he did for Al Adamson. And neither of them are worth a shit. Except for the scene where he fight, and I forget which one. This might be this one. Because he also, Black Samurai, that's the one where he fights a whole bunch of midgets.
These are not great films, but they are fun. Okay?
There ain't no Black Belt Jones.
No, I didn't. Did I say it was Black Belt Jones? Did I even come close to say that?
No.
Fuck you, this does not have
Statman Crumb. Oh, there's the midgets!
The midgets! Pam Ann planes. You don't see those anymore. They've been gone for years.
Yeah, we got a warlock. We got midget. We got African warriors. I love this. Never to watch
really,
anything, baby.
I mean, this is even worse than a lot of the really bad kung fu films from Shaw and that are badly dubbed. I mean, these are not good.
Yeah,
kids.
But they're not as bad as your new favorite.
Which one is that?
Godfrey Ho.
Oh, yes. That's true. Not as bad as Godfrey Ho. That's very true.
Oh, it's Al Adamson. Or is that who I've seen? Yeah.
Yeah, that's Al Adamson. Seraphim.
This is another chance. He was in like two films. Ron Van Cleef. I want this the uncut version of the trailer with the cursing in it. Are you motherfucker? Yeah, this is the cut version. As you can
see,
he's a great fighter. He's a good fighter. But he's a shitty actor.
And he ain't no Sonny Chiba. Sorry.
And Severin is putting out a DVD featuring documentary on the Bruce Lee clones later this year.
Oh, nice.
Now, Jorge Estrada, he was both good and a good actor. He's no Benny the Jet Rodriguez, but...
Yeah. You know Benny. He seems like he knows what he's doing fighting, man. There's no doubt.
You got to have a Bruce. It just seems like in every one from Thailand, you got to have the Bruce Lee clone.
Absolutely. And there were at least four of them, I know.
As I say, Lilo.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Meathead.
I don't know this. Do you know this at all? I've never even heard of this.
What's his name? Who directed Spinal Tap in it, as you've seen?
Rob Reiner?
Yeah, Rob Reiner.
I missed it. I haven't seen Reiner.
And he was always classy.
Greg Morris? I think.
No, that's the guy who was the bad guy in Cotton Comes to Harlem.
As I said, is that Greg Morris?
See? There he is.
That's not Reiner.
Rob Reiner.
Hold on. Holzhanger, I will tell you right now. That's not Reiner. That's Calvin Lockhart.
Calvin Lockhart, yeah.
Okay, not Greg Morris. That's Calvin Lockhart.
Jeff Bridges.
That's Jeff Bridges. It's not. That is not. That was, and that's Otis Day, by the way. That's fucking Otis Day. Edward Asner's in that, and you're right. Rob Reiner is in that. I take that back.
Yeah.
Okay. Never heard of this. Oh, I know this.
This is back when that big Baja race was like on everybody's tongue.
Right. Yeah, Joe Don Baker is great.
Oh, God, yeah. Susan Sarandon.
Yeah. Larry Hagman.
Parnelli Jones, yeah. What other movie was Parnelli Jones in?
I'm not sure.
Dude, Gone in 60 Seconds.
Oh, okay.
Remember, it's one of the cars that Mason steals Parnelli Jones's big... Yeah, big Ole Bronco.
This is sort of like a low rent Stoker Ace, you know, Cannonball Run film. And
hey,
it's got a lot of heart to it.
I would say Crash Stoker Ace is a low rent Crash.
Right.
Stoker Ace is near fucking unwatchable.
Well, what I was thinking of was more Cannonball Run. Stoker Ace just came out of my mouth first.
Yeah. But you're right.
This is fun. We're not talking about
the greatest
film in the world, but we're talking about fun. And there's
Jim
nothing wrong Martin with that.
Blew up that good. Alan Bent.
Alan Bent. I love Alan Bent. Both him and Jesse.
Yeah.
They were brothers.
That's one of the best watches we did was Macon County Line.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
This must be the 80s because I've seen what's his name? Matt Dillon.
That's what's his name?
Bruno Kirby. Oh, is this Hollywood Night?
I think so. D.D. Kahn. This is Hollywood Nights. That's exactly what this is.
Ken Wall.
Yeah. This one was actually
pretty good and above the usual.
Yeah, this is actually
teenage.
Not
ass movie.
This also had a lot of like American Graffiti vibes to it too.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's not
almost
nice. It's
summer.
Almost summer. No, that's not Hollywood Nights. Not with a black couple.
Carl,
oh,
Carl dressed in that outfit. Yeah, ever since Thomas Carter. Tim Matheson. Yeah, this is definitely... Whoa! Almost Summer by Celebration featuring Mike Love. This must be during the whole period when Brian Wilson was in the sandbox.
Yeah, probably. Not really.
Yeah, there's no really good films or interesting films coming out this summer so far. Elektra!
Oh, yeah.
Carl! Tag!
Okay, is it mine?
Oh, of course.
This is a great film. Robert Blake, this is just fucking awesome movie. And also has an ending that blows you away. Such a great film. He's a motorcycle cop in Arizona. And he's small compared to everyone else. And that's an issue.
None of his fellow cops like him.
No, nobody likes him. Yeah, this is where you see he's a lot smaller.
What did they show that picture from Easy Rider for?
I don't know.
Were they trying to give you a hint or something?
Yeah, something like that. But this is very much a character study. It's more a character study than anything else. It's not an action film. It's a character study.
I'm amazed this never caught on on the Midnight Circuit, because this just seems mwah.
Well, there are three Robert Blake movies that are worthwhile. This is one, and, of course, the one you love, the David Lynch one.
Yeah.
And then the third one is a film that came out a year after this called Busting, which I love, which he's paired with Elliot Gould. It's almost like the first buddy cop movie, maybe with the exception of the one with Alan Arkin and James Caan. But this one is absolutely fantastic. Also directed by James William Guercio, it's the only film he ever directed produced. He was known more as a record producer, a music producer, and he was the mind behind Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
You made me so very,
very
happy.
Happy.
I'm so sad that you're into my life.
But Blake, this is probably Blake's best role. God knows we love him as Beretta, but this is his
like
best
I
role.
Said, I'm surprised this didn't catch on in the Midnight Circuit.
Yeah. I think because it was about cops. To be honest. And it is in many ways pro police.
Well, pro good cop.
Yeah, pro good cop, put it that way.
Oh.
Oh, this one isn't bad. This is good, actually.
Yeah.
This is not bad. This is fun. Coburn, during the 60s and 70s, had a real interesting run. Between being anti-establishment or, you know, really against the man, so to speak. He's good stuff.
Yeah, this is the earliest movie I've seen that deals with the Seven Bells, through the Seven Bells.
By the way, that's Michael Saracen.
Yeah. You dumbass.
Walter Pidgeon.
This is a lot better than its mirror picture, the Flim Flam Man with George C. Scott.
And actually, you know, as I said, Coburn had a real nice run in the 70s. Another film I love of his is The Internecine Project, which came out right after that.
Yeah. And he's had a, and he had steady work all through his life. Is this the Buccaneer with Yeah,
Swashbuckler
with
Walter Matthau, right?
No, that's Pirates.
Okay.
Yeah, James Earl Jones. Oh, it's got what's his name who played Quint in Jaws.
Right. Robert Shaw.
Yeah, Robert Shaw. This movie didn't do any good at the box office because pirate movies were definitely out of date. Hey,
that's
look.
Peter. That's Peter Bono.
Yeah. Hey, Jeffrey Holder.
Nice. Okay, I would watch this with this cast. I would definitely watch it. I've never seen it, though. I know of it, but I never saw it.
I got friends in high places with swords and guns at the
You know, generally I let anyone join my choir. However, I may make an exception with you.
But the only really good one I've seen from the 70s to the 90s is the one that not too many people knows in that Pirates of the Caribbean totally ripped the fuck off, and that's Nathan Hayes.
Yes, Nathan Hayes is fun.
Oh, yeah. This is dedicated to Doc.
Destroy All Monsters?
Is this King Kong versus Godzilla or Destroy All Monsters?
It's either that or, yeah, this is probably King Kong versus Godzilla. Yep.
This isn't the one with Doctor Who in it.
Listen, these are just, I love these. I grew up with these. Watch these
as they call it, the Hesai series.
Yeah. Trust me, it's not a thrill of a lifetime, but it's fun.
Okay, and that's bye-bye for the trailers.
Okay, fine.
Unless you
want to
do
the
Robert
Altman
film.
Can we do the Robert Altman film?
Okay, go ahead. You take it.
Okay. Okay, this is California Split, and it is absolutely fabulous. This is such a great film. Joseph Walsh is in this.
Yeah.
George Segal.
Yeah.
It has the greatest end line ever.
Was it all worth it, Carl?
No, it's not, is it all worth it? It don't mean a fucking thing, does it?
No.
Don't mean a fucking thing.
And he goes,
but it is beautiful. This is such a great film.
He's got, it's about two guys who are such big losers that they're disappointed when they finally win.
Yeah, and it's all about the it's all about being addicted to gambling. And there's wonderful actors in this. Burt Rampson is in this as a cross-dresser, by the way. Really, really good, solid film. Altman lets them go. And there's a great scene of them betting on if they know the Seven Dwarfs. And it's great.
You rarely seen any really good George Segal movies outside of this one.
Well, he did a good number in the '70s, but a lot that we didn't like. Like Bloomin' Love is a good film, but it's not one of my favorites. There's Burt Remsen in Drive, by the way.
Yeah, your favorite is the one where it turns out he has a black son. Okay, time to call it a bye-bye.
And we are now done.
No, it doesn't matter because that was it. I was just using this because we couldn't find the film and doing the AM radio talk. And
okay.
Before we get to the final business, auf Wiedersehen, Herr Helmut Berger.
Yes. You know, particularly his work with Visconti. And of course, don't forget Fahrenheit 451, which is Vicky's favorite film of his,
yeah.
I'm sure. But yeah,
okay.
He just passed away today.
Yeah, he just passed away today. Okay. The word is what do y'all got going at the one and only Stinky Carl radio show?
Okay, well, that's Stevie the Legion Network, and we've got a couple things happening. Tomorrow, Adam Ferenc is going to be doing a panel looking at Futurama, the TV show, and Miss Rachel Elaine, will be there with it. Then we've got a show on Boogie and Blues with TC on Sunday. On Tuesday, Rachel and I will be doing a commentary watch on Confessions of a Dangerous Mind. But on Wednesday, we want you to be with us because Patrick Crane is going to be hosting a new show on the network, and it's all about the golden age of porn. And we are going to have on with us Howie Gordon, which we know under another name, Richard Pacheco, and you and I actually did a show with Howie a number of years back.
Get it right.
You,
the GOAT
what?
Of Howard Pacheco,
yes.
Richard Pacheco.
Yes. Yes. And so we're going to have Howie on, and we do want you there. So you are
okay.
Absolutely invited.
I'll think about it. But what we got next week is we're going to start with a movie, and we haven't thought about that yet. I mean, debated about that yet. But I hope you enjoyed tonight. And if you're old enough, remember the good old days of just sitting around with your boys or just lying in bed in the dark with the radio playing.
Absolutely.
Then we love your AM radio and FM.
Absolutely.
And with that, good night, everybody.
Good night.
See you
on
the other side.
And see you again.
You're the co-host because I can't find anyone else.
Well, whatever. I'm always available. If it's in my time, I'm glad to do it. Always.
Yeah. Okay. Good night, everybody.
Good night.